Once again, good morning. It's good to see everyone out today. It's good to be home. As I was there in Missouri, many that were there were asking about you, each of you, and wondering how you were doing. You are in the thoughts and prayers of many people, and they asked to send their greetings. So you've been greeted appropriately, and you know, it's one of those things that's it's always a blessing to go, and it's always a blessing to come home. I know my brother David has looked forward to being able to do more since his last illness, and this is another opportunity for the Lord to use him. But I do ask that you lift him up in your silent prayers, that you know the Lord would strengthen him for that task. I know that's the desire of his heart, and that you would also give him your careful attention. So, our brother David.
He said that after I got out of my surgery, I sounded like a horse, Kenny Rogers. Well, I wasn't practicing, no. I was lucky enough when I was in the hospital that most of the time I had a window where I could see the light. And I kind of wanted to talk about that light this morning. The things that affect our lives. That song we just sang, it said that we honor our friends from our youth. You know, I've gone 40 years without speaking to my friends at times, and all of a sudden they're calling me once a week because we've come to realize that we're not going to live forever. And as we watch some of our classmates pass on into the hereafter, we say, what have I done? What have I told my friends? And so we talk. And we don't talk like we did when we were kids. We talk about the matters of life and what we're going to do with what time remains. And you might say that we're sharing the light of life. And this morning I want to read a little bit about light. And I'm going to start in the first chapter of Genesis. And right at the beginning, I'm going to read the first five verses. It says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. When we think about that, what was the light before God gave light to the earth? Where'd it come from? You ever wonder that? How could God see? If there was no day or night, there was only time that God did not have to respect. He has all the time he wants. So let's go down to the 14th verse and read 14 through 19. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, and for days and years. And let them be for light in the firmament of the heaven, to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So already we've come to the fourth day of creation, when he made light. I'm one of those that doesn't believe that everything was done in 6 days. I think that is how he relates it to us with understanding. It took a lot of time to do the things that he has done, to create this perfect world that we live in. I was watching a show in the hospital, and it was on creatures that live so deep in the ocean that they never see light. And when they put the light on those creatures, they're full of color. They look like something out of Star Wars, nothing that you see on the face of the land. They live in their own world down there, never seeing light. But yet when light is put upon them, they're awesome. They're a study all by themselves. And people are looking at these things that have been previously unknown, because we had no way of getting down to them. And now they're inventing these drones and stuff that can get down there and take pictures and shed light on the areas that hadn't had light before. And what we found is that God was there. His creatures are there. And all the beautiful colors are there. Let's go down to verse 26 and 27. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And then when you look at verse 31, it says, "And God saw that every thing that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." So God created everything for us to live in, and to give us life. And then he created us. Were we an afterthought? I don't know. Boy, when you look at the dinosaur remains that we find and stuff, it looks like it took a lot of time for God to finally create a man. And then after he created him, he was sorry that he had created him, because they all turned against him and turned evil. And so he nearly destroyed man. I want to go over to Isaiah chapter 60. I'm going to read verses 20 and 21. And this is talking about when man will no longer have dominion, but God will retake his creation. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. God told us that in the revelations that he gave to John that he was going to create a great city. And out of that great city, there was going to be precious stones of every kind. It would have 12 foundations with the names of the 12 apostles. It would have 12 walls with the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. What all this includes, we don't know. But we know that it's a promise that he's going to have something waiting for us. Christ told us, I go to build you many mansions, and I'll return to thee, and hopefully we're worthy to follow after these promises that are made to make ourselves able and worthy to live in the kingdom of God, where he has these great things waiting for us, things that we can't even imagine. There in Revelations 21, verses 22 and 23, I'll just read them. It says, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. When Christ walked in the flesh, he told us that he was the light of the world. We also were told that the Word of God was light, and that God was light. When we turn to John chapter 8, he talked about this a little bit. John chapter 8, I'm going to read the first 12 verses. Chapter 8, first 12 verses. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. And what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where art thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. There in Acts, I believe it is, we're told to speak the words of life. Those that are spreading the word of the gospel of Christ to all the world, speak the words of life. So when we talk about this light, it is talking about the words of life, the history that we have. And I've mentioned this before, for those that don't want to believe, why was time changed? Why was there time before Christ and time after Christ? If he was just a great teacher and was not the Son of God, why was time itself recorded according to his life? Kind of hard to deny some of these things, but one of the things that's been on my mind lately is the way that our children are being brought up, being taught that they cannot pray, not to God anyway, while they're in church or in school, but they could say anything else they want and they wouldn't be condemned for it. It seems like the schools and government entities are trying to claim the word of life to all the children that are being raised. And if they don't learn it at home, they won't learn it, period. I heard on the news that Chicago will not graduate anyone from high school, regardless of their grades or anything, until they have signed up for college. They didn't offer to pay the $40,000 tuition fees for college, but they said, you have to go to college or you're not going to get a diploma from a Chicago school. Is that control that's out of their bounds? If a student qualified and met all the grade levels that are required for graduation, how can they put in, you have to be signed up for college or we're not going to promote you anymore? But they offer no assistance. And it just reminded me of what the Book of Mormon tells us about Satan. It says that he'll tempt you, he'll regulate your life, he'll do everything until he has you in chains, and then he will laugh at you. And he will not support you. He owns you. Is that what authority is coming to in the world? Well, they'd like to. I remember, I think it was last year, one of the ball games, they said, we're not going to sing the national anthem at the beginning of this game. And before the game started, the audience stood up and sang it. How much are we going to put up with before we stand up? And we have our say about what is what in our life. What's important? What gives us the light of life? All things that we should be watching for. If our reward is going to be with a mansion that's made of 12 apostles and 12 foundations of the tribes of Israel, which will be brought together again in the last days, then that's one thing that we look forward to and we hope for. That there will be no night, no day, but that we will be living in the light of the glory of God. I heard a preacher, and it impressed me. It was on TV. This also was when I was in the hospital, killing time, trying to heal, trying not to be mad at my doctors. This guy said, you know, people are like cockroaches. Cockroaches hate light. You turn light on, they're scrambling to hide. But then there's the moth, and the moth will be drawn to the light. So which do we want to be? Do we want to be drawn into the light, where everything can be seen, where our deeds can be seen? A moth covers many things. The butterflies, the things that are pretty and they're beautiful. They started out as a worm. And they grew into this thing that's full of grace. Or do I want to be a cockroach? Which was always a cockroach. Which was always hiding. From the time of their youth, they're taught to hide. So that their deeds cannot be seen while they're doing them. Well, the cockroaches get to look forward to the exterminator. And we have an exterminator coming. He's going to clean things up. He'll separate the cockroaches from the beauty that we have in our life. I want to go to Matthew, the 24th chapter of Matthew. It's just a very simple verse. Matthew 24:27. This is the word of Christ. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. When he comes back, everybody's going to know it. All the cockroaches are going to be lit up. Everybody's going to have an understanding that this is the Son of God, and he has come back just like he said he was going to. He is the exterminator. He is the one that is going to cleanse our life, cleanse the world that we live in. He is going to make all of the things equal so that we don't have to face the inequality of trying to be a Christian and having somebody telling us, no, you can't do that here. You can't pray. You can't sing. You know, when I worked at Clifton Water, and I worked by myself, I sang quite a bit. For one thing, I worked in a basement that was concrete, and the acoustics were pretty good. It was kind of fun to go down there and sing my favorite songs. And one of the supervisors heard me one time, and he said, hey, no singing. I said, try and stop me. I didn't have much respect for supervisors. Sorry. And then he told me a different time. He said, you need to start cussing. He said, you've got a lot of trouble here. You need to start cussing. And I said, well, when that time comes, we'll see who I cuss. And he was, I ended up telling him it's you or me. One of us has got to go. And he ended up leaving, which surprised me. But I always knew that God was with me and that light was with me. As Vi could tell you, whenever they had a group get together, a dinner or something, they always asked me to say the prayer if I was there. I didn't want that responsibility, but when it was cast on me, I took it. I could do that. And so I did. And I was known as the goody two-shoes guy. Well, we go through life that way. And it's not our problem. Believe me, kids, it's not our problem. How we believe. It's the others. If they don't believe, they have a problem. Because they're not living in the light. We know we have Christ with us. What they have with them is cockroaches. They're living in the dark ages. We have hope, we have joy, we have the grace of God. We have the ability to exercise our faith. And they can't stop us from praying silently. We can talk to God all we want to. Sometimes I get mad at God because I didn't think he was doing what he should for me. But it always turned out okay, and he understood. I'm the same way now. I'm impatient to get well. I want to have all my strength back and be able to work all day long, every day. Slowly, I'm getting better. We're still trying to figure out how the medicines I take affect me. And I ran out of one of them and went for a few days without it, and it's a blood pressure thing. And I've always had trouble with blood pressure meds. And Kathy asked me yesterday, she said, are you still as dizzy? And I had to think about it. You know, I've been working some pretty long hours at home. And I have to take breaks quite often. But I've never fell over. I'm not running into things like I used to. So I would have to say, yeah. Well, I got my medicine in the mail and I took it, and this morning I'm kind of dizzy. It's like, okay, that's doing it to me. So that's one of the questions out of the way. I know which one it is that is affecting me, and it's one that works good for me. I just need to get it regulated right. I'm going to go over to the third chapter of the book of John. And I want to read verses 19 through 21. These are the words of Christ. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Isn't that what we want in our life? Is to be found, to be worthy of the glory of God, to live in His light, to do fruitful things with our life, and not have to cower and run when we see that the Lord's looking at us. In the Book of Mormon, it says that in that day of judgment, when we come face to face with the Lord, there's going to be some of us that are going to try to crawl underneath the carpet or the mountains or hide ourselves somewhere, because we don't want to be found in His gaze of His eyes. Because that right there makes our conscience condemn ourselves because of His honesty, because of His openness. I don't want to be ashamed when I meet the Lord. I want to shake His hand, call Him my friend. I'm going to close with the first chapter of John, the first four verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Do you ever think that you carry a light? We all have life. We all have a light within us. We're born with a light. But when we seek darkness, that's when we're trying to put that light out, because our deeds aren't worthy to be light. With Sarah's baptism, I told her, now you will have that comforting spirit to guide you in all that you do. Every decision you make, put it at His feet, that you might do it right. That is what we seek to do, is to not only be happy in this life, to live in the light, but to be able to follow after the will of God, that He will bless us when this life is over. We sometimes hear about somebody who has seen somebody that they were very close to who had died, and they see them. And that person might give them a message, or it might just be a picture that they see of that person and where they are. And it encourages us to live our life so that we can join them, so that we can be in a place where we don't have darkness, where we don't have to try and hide our deeds, because we've been forgiven. I don't know of anything that would be of greater value in life than to be forgiven for those things which we do, which are not according to God's will. And that's why He offered to us repentance. That's why He came down. The Son of God made flesh and sacrificed His life. And He says, no greater sacrifice is there made than one who will die for a friend. And so I consider him my friend because he died for me. And it's by the word, by the grace of God, and by his light that I want to live. And I hope you all do too. Thank you for your time.